Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Yud Beis, and we will begin on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis on the first of the wide lines, Tanya Idach. Says the Gemara, Tanya Idach, we learned in a Braisa, Beis HaKnesses, a shul, or Beis HaShutfim, a house owned by partners, or Beis HaIsha, a home owned by a woman, Betam B'Negoim. The halachas of Negoyim, if a house is afflicted with certain signs that show that it has a nega, apply to all of these homes also. Ask the Gemara, Pshito, of course, why not? Answers the Gemara, Madutema, we might have thought, since the Pasuk speaking about Negoyim says, Uvo, Ashaloi Habayis, I would teach Loi Veloi Lo, only a home owned by a man, not by a woman, Loi Veloi Lahem, a home owned by a man, but not by more than one man, by partners, Kamash Malon. The Brisa teaches us that Hilchas Negoyim applies to all of these homes. Ask the Gemara Ve'ema HaChanami, maybe the halachas of Negoyim should not apply to a woman's home, to a partner's home. Says the Gemara, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Bebeis Eretz Achuzaschem, any home that's afflicted with Saras, in the land that you inherit, makes no difference if it's hers, a man's house, partner's house, woman's house. Ask the Gemara, Ela Loi Lamali, why do I need the pasuk of Loi then? What do I learn from the word Loi? Answers the Gemara, Mish Miyachad Beis Loi. The Torah is teaching us that someone who keeps his house for himself, Shenu Roitza Lahashel Kalev, he refuses to lend his various utensils and vessels to other people, because Va'omer, he says, She'ein Loi, he doesn't have anything to lend, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mefarsmai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will expose him. Why? Because the halach is that when a house is afflicted with Saras, the Kohen comes and says, Ufinu Eskelov, that the house should be emptied of all the things in the house. So K'shemefanes Beisoi, when he will clear out his house, everybody will see what he has. Prat, a mashal kevel acherov, someone who does lend his vessels and utensils, he will not have to be concerned about tzaras. Ask the Gemara, or Beis HaKnesses mimatam b'negoyim, is a shul susceptible to tumas tzaras? For Tanya, we learned in a brisa, yochel yeh bati knesiyos or bati medrashis mitam b'negoyim, I would think that shuls or places of study are susceptible to Negoyim. Tamaloyma uvo ashaloi habayis. Mish miyuchaloi, a home which is specifically his, can become tamei with saras. Yotza elu shem yuchadim loy. These homes, the shul, which are not specific to a person, cannot have saras. Answers the Gemara loy kasha. Hora mei or hora bottom. The two brises that we learned, the contradiction, if a Beis HaKnesses could be susceptible to Tumas Negoyim, reflect the machloikis of Ramei and Rabbonim. The Tanya, Beis HaKnesses, Shiesh Be Beis Tiro L'Chazin, Beis HaKnesses, that has an apartment for a Chazin, everybody agrees, for the Shamis, everybody agrees, Chayv Mezuzah. And as we said in the previous year, the machloikis, what does this mean? It doesn't mean that the Shamis actually lives in the shul, or does it mean that he has an apartment in the same building as the shul, and he goes from the shul into his apartment? However, v'she'en b'beis dira, a shul that doesn't have such an apartment, Remeyer says, chayiv, it's still mechuyiv in mezuzah. V'cham apaitrim. So therefore, the brice that says that there is tumas tzaras by Beis HaKnesses will reflect Remeyer's shita. The brice that says there is no tumas tzaras by Beis HaKnesses will reflect Shitas Chachamim. Says the Gemara V'Yibayi Seima, another teretz, Hava Rabbonim. Both brices reflect the Shita of the Rabbonim. V'loy Kasha, Hadi Ispei Deis Tira. The brice that says that there is tumas tzaras by Beis HaKnesses is referring that there is an apartment in that building. Hadi Lespei Deis Tira, and therefore it's not susceptible to tumas tzaras. V'bayi Seima, another teretz, Hava Hadi Lespei Deis Tira. both are referring to a home that has no shul. Hadakrachim, hadakfarim. It makes a difference if the shul is a shul in a community, or it's a shul in a small village in a rural area. So there's machlekes harishonim, how to understand this teretz. Rashi understands that a shul in a big city, we don't know who the specific owners are. The whole city, with many people living in the city, are all owners of the shul, so they can't be specified who the owner is. However, a shul in a village, a small group, therefore, we can identify who the owner is. The Rambam, however, explains that a basic knesses in just the opposite. A basic knesses in a city, people usually sleep in. No, I'm saying the basic knesses in kfarim, basic knesses in a village is used for people to stay in. There is no other place for guests to remain in, and that's why it's considered a home which has the din of nega. A basic knesses in krachim, there are other hotels and other places where the guests stay, and that's why it's not susceptible to tumas teras or to achiv mezuzah. Ask the Migdash Ma'at that just because guests stay there at certain times, is that enough to make it considered like a home? So he explains, it's not just that the guests stay there, the same guest stays there all the time, but since there's constantly a turnover of people always remaining in that shul, it gets the identity, it gets the status of a home and not just of a shul, and that's why it's susceptible to teras. Ask the Gemara or the Krochim, Eimetam Negoim, is it true that a shul in a city isn't susceptible to Tumas Nega? V'tanya, we learned Achuzaschem, the Brisa says Achuzaschem, the place of your inheritance, Metam Negoim, is susceptible to Tumas Nega. However, Ein Yushlaim Metam Negoim, Yushlaim is not susceptible to Tumas Nega. Amr Yehuda, Shabbi Yehuda, who is seemingly the same as the Rabbanon, says Anilo Shemati El Magdam Migdash Bavad. Only the base of Migdash itself was not susceptible to Tumas Nega. Any other place is susceptible to Tumas Nega. Habati Knesios Bat Midrashis Metam Benegoim. The Bati Knesios of Yerushalayim are susceptible to Tuma Nega. Vafagav the Krochninu, certainly the Yerushalayim is considered a city. So how could you say that the Bat Knesios of a city, everybody agrees, are not susceptible to Tumas Negoim? The Migdash David asks, why do I need a limud that the Beis HaMikdash is not susceptible to Tumas Negoim? The Beis HaMikdash was made out of marble, out of shayish. And shayish, he asks, is something which is not susceptible to Tumas Negoim. So he answers that the Beis HaMikdash did not have to be made out of shayish. It was allowed to be made out of shayish. And therefore, the Pasuk is teaching us that if we will use a different material to build the Beis HaMikdash, it's not susceptible to Tumas Nega. Ema. But we have a question. We just said that Yushalayim is not susceptible to the a basic knesses, the Krochim is not susceptible to Tumah. Yet Rabbi Yehuda seems to say it is. Ema, say Pshat Rabbi Yehuda this way. Am Rabbi Yehuda, Nilo Shemati El Mokim Kodesh Bavad. I learned that any holy place in Yerushalayim, not just the base of Migdash, is not susceptible to Tumah. Why? Because it's a basic knesses, the Krochim. A basic knesses, the Krochim, is not susceptible to Tumah. Says the Gemara, what is the machloikis if homes in Yerushalayim are susceptible to Tumas Nega or not based on? What is the basis of their disagreement? Yerushalayim was not divided amongst the Shvatim. It isn't considered any one specific Shevet's territory, and therefore it's not susceptible to Tumas Nega. Yerushalayim was divided amongst the Shvatim, and therefore it's like any other area that's susceptible to Tumas Negoim. Or the Pluk the Dan Tanoim, which really is a Machloikis Tanoim. The Tanya, Ma Hayu B'Chelkis Yehuda. What parts of the Beis HaMikdash complex. We're in Yehuda's portion. Says the Braisa, Harabayis, the actual Temple Mount. Halishka is the chambers. Vazaros are the various courtyards. As we will learn, there was the Ezra's Noshim, where the women remained. Ezra's Yisraelim, where regular Yisraelim remained. And the area between the Mizbeach and the courtyard of the Israelim. All of that is included in the Azaros. What was in Binyamin's portion? Ulam, the first room in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Fehechel is the main, is the Kodesh, or Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. However, continues the Braisa, V'rutsua Haisa Yoitza Mechelka Sheyehuda, a strip of land projected from Yehuda's portion, V'nechneses Lechelka Shebenyamin, and goes into the portion of Binyamin. As the Gemara Masechta Megillah explains, it was the southeast strip around the Mizbeach, around the base of the Mizbeach, that was in Yehuda's portion. And that is the spot where the Mizbeach was built. Binyamin was upset that this portion of the Mizbeach was not on his property. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in the Brachos of Moshe Rabbeinu to the Shvatim, Choif of Allah kol hayoyim, Binyamin agonizes the whole day. Choif means like he can't sit still. He's disturbed by something. He was disturbed that not the entire Mizbeach was in his portion. Lefikach, because of that, Zoch Binyamin HaTzadik, Binyamin HaTzadik was Zoicha v'nasa u'shpizachina l'gvura. The Aron HaKadosh was put into his portion. Shenemar, Bank safe of Shachain, between the shoulders of Binyamin does HaKadosh Baruch Hu rest. This Braisa clearly indicates that Yerushalayim, not only Yerushalayim, but even the Har Habayis was divided amongst Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin. And since it was divided amongst Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin, that's why this, the Tanakhama holds that Yerushalayim, like every other area of Eretz Yisrael, the homes in Yerushalayim are susceptible to Tumas Nagon. The Mefarshim ask, we need to understand this Braisa. The Braisa teaches us that because Binyamin was upset that the entire Mizbeach was not in his portion, that's why HaKadosh Baruch ultimately put the Aron into his portion. But didn't we explain that from the beginning that was the division, that Binyamin would have the Beis HaMikdash, which has the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and Yehuda would have the other area? So what happened because he was upset? So the Gra answers that what the Gemara means is that between when Klal Yisrael had the Mishkan in the Midbar and the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, there were three different places where the Mishkan was left: Shiloh, Noiv, and Givon. And the Braisa is teaching us that Binyamin was Zoicha, that the Mishkan was put in Noiv and Givon and in Shiloh, which were all in his territory, because we see how much he cared to have the Beis HaMikdash, to have the Shechina in his property. Another teretz given is that originally the only area that was destined to be in Binyamin's territory was the Mizbeach, nothing else. But after Binyamin showed how much he cared that the Shechina should be in his territory, how much it bothered him that Yehuda took part of that territory, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, since you so much want my Shechina to be in your territory, I will put the Aron HaKodesh in your portion. And the Mefarshim discuss at length, many Mefarshim discuss at length, why was Binyamin Zoicha that the Shechina should be in his territory. So the Gra explains that the Pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu met Esav, it said that he met Esav v'echad os yiladav, with his 11 children. Ask Rashi, v'dina heichen haisa, where was Dina? Because we know that Yaakov Avinu at that time had 12 children. So if it says that only 11 met, one must be hidden. So Rashi assumes it was Dinah. Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu hid her in the backs, that Eshav shouldn't see her and want to marry her. So ask the Gra, how does Rashi know that it was Dinah that Yaakov hid? Maybe it was one of the other Shvatim that Yaakov hid. Says the Gra, the reason Binyamin was Zoicha that the Beis HaMikdash was built in his territory is because Binyamin, who wasn't born at that episode, was the only Sheva that did not bow down to Esav. And therefore he was Zoicha that the Beis HaMikdash was built in his territory. If it would have been a different Sheva that hadn't bowed down to Esav, if that was the person missing from the group of 12 that didn't meet Esav, then he should have the Beis HaMikdash built in his territory. The fact that only Binyamin was the candidate for the Beis HaMikdash to be built in his territory, because he didn't bow down to Esav, it must be that the 11 Shvatim, the 11 other Shvatim did bow down to Esav, and who was the one hidden? Dinah. The Meshech Chachma explains that the reason Binyamin was Zoicha that the Beis HaMikdash was built in his territory is because the point of going into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, as we are learning Masech the Yuma, one of the purposes was to mechaper on the Aveira that the Shvatim sold Yosef. The only Shevet that did not participate in that was Binyamin. Since Binyamin was the only Shevet that didn't participate, so when we go into the Beis HaMikdash to have the Kapara, we're careful that it should be Shevet Binyamin territory. And that's why he explains, the Meshech Chachma, that the entire Avodah Yom Kippurim reflects that we are looking for a Kapara for that Aveira. He explains that's why the Kohen Gadol did not wear the Choshen when he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because on the Choshim are the names of all 12 Shvatim, and they didn't act like 12 Shvatim, 12 brothers, so it's inappropriate on Yom Kippur when you want to have a Kapara for the Ma'is HaChet HaEgel, they should wear the Choshen. Similarly, that's why in the Tefillah on Musaf Yom Kippur we speak about the Sarah Ruge Malchus, the 10 Tanoim that died at Kiddush Hashem, and it says there that their death was a Kapara for the Chet, for the Aveira of selling Yosef. And that's what the Meshech Chachma says is pshat in what we say in the Tefillah on Yom Kippur. Ki at the solchen li Yisrael umacht lan l'shifte Yeshurun b'chol dor. What we're saying is, number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki at the solchen li Yisrael. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on Yom Kippur, give us a mechila. But not only do you give us a mechila, umacht lan l'shifte Yeshurun b'chol dor v'dor, on Yom Kippur, on all of the Yom Kippurim, of all of the generations, we can achieve a kapara for what the Shifte Yeshurun, what the Shvatim did in selling Yosef. Other Mefarshim say that the reason that the Beis HaMikdash was built in the portion of Binyamin was given that Binyamin was the youngest Shevet, and he remained with Yaakov the longest, and he therefore took care of his father Yaakov, and that was because of the mitzvah of Kibbutz of Aim, he was Zoicha that the Beis HaMikdash should be built in his portion. For high Tana Sava, but the other Tana that says that nowhere in Yerushalayim is there Tumas Nagon, he holds Yerushalayim Lomus Chakal Shvatim. Yerushalayim was not divided amongst the Shvatim. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Aim Askirim Batim Yerushalayim, we're not allowed to rent out houses in Yerushalayim for people who are Oyla Regal, but Fishan Shalhem. They don't really belong to the people who live in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim doesn't belong to any specific person. And Rabbi Lazabar, Tzadok Aymer, Afloy Mitos, not only beds, not only homes can't be rented out, even beds in homes can't be rented out. Because the beds are on property, and given that the property doesn't belong to the person living in the home, he can't rent out beds that are on that property. The Fikach, so how do the people who have guests in Yerushalayim get some sort of payment, some sort of compensation? Oris Kodeshim, the leather, the hide of the Karbonos, Balish Bezichinim, the innkeepers who invite the guests, Neutlein Sebezroya, could take it forcibly. That's their payment. Amar Abaya, Shmamina, from here we see Oirich Ara, it's Derech Eretz, it's the right way for a person to act. L'mishbek Inish, a person should leave Gulfa, his leather jug, Umashcha, and the hide of the animals he slaughtered, L'shpiza, for his host. And Rashi and Masechta Megillah says that it wasn't only the leather of kachim, but even the leather of regular animals, also all animals should be given to the innkeeper. Mefarshim explains, so how can apartments be rented in Yerushalayim? So the Mefarshim explained that this is only a din during the time of Aliyah Regel, where Chazal say that the original point that Yerushalayim was not divided is activated and nobody can rent out houses, they don't own it. And the other time, Bechana Vassman explains this at length, you can rent out houses, this din doesn't apply. There's Machloikis Chazanish and Briskerov had to understand this shita of Yerushalayim Lo Nischalka L'Shvatim. According to the Chazanish, Yerushalayim was originally apportioned, because when Klal Yisrael came to Yisrael, they were not aware where the Beis HaMikdash would ultimately be built, and therefore Yerushalayim was divided like every other area in Yisrael. Only later, when Yerushalayim was identified as the place where the Beis HaMikdash should be built, was that division retroactively voided. The Briskerov, however, holds that from the beginning, Yerushalayim was never divided. It was always identified, according to the Zman d'Amar, as an area of Kedusha. So we learned in the Mishnah that Umaskina lo Kohen Acher, we prepare a backup Kohen for the Kohen Gadol, that such something, Chas v'Shalom, happened to Kohen Gadol, this person would serve in his place. The halacha is that any person who's appointed to be a Kohen Gadol has to be nischanech, has to be appointed officially. The proper way of doing it is that he should do avoida for 7 days, and during each of those 7 days he should be anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. However, Al Gemara will now discuss a situation where it's on Yom Kippur and the Kohen Gadol got disqualified, so we have to use the backup Kohen, who was just identified but never actually nischanech, never actually officially appointed to be Kohen Gadol. And now the question is, how should we be mischanechim? Because again, the right way is 7 days avodah and 7 days Shemen HaMishcha. If that's not possible, at least work for 7 days and have 1 day of Shemen HaMishcha. So now, what do we do? Says the Gemara, Pshita, it's obvious. Ira b'psul koydim tamid shel shachar. Like every day of the year, Yom Kippur being no different, the first carbon that's brought in the day is the tamid shel shachar. And Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol brings that carbon, wearing all shmoyne begodim, wearing all 8 begodim that he wears all year round when he does the avodah. So if the Kohen Gadol got disqualified before the Tamid Shel Shachar was brought, so we take this new person who's going to be given this position of Kohen Gadol, put on the Shemoneh Begadim, tell him to bring the Tamid Shel Shachar, and that's how he has his investiture. As we will learn and explain the Gemara, any investiture has to be done with a heker. It has to be seen that he's being mischanech. And therefore, this is a very simple way of accomplishing it. However, as the Gemara, El Iraba Psul Acher Tamid Shel Shachar, what will be if the Tamid Shel Shachar was already brought? So it's too late to do it this way. How will we do the chinuch? So the Tosfos Yeshanim asks, why don't we just put on him the Shemen HaMishcha? So the Tosfos Yeshanim answers that our Gemara is talking about the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. And the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, the Shemen HaMishcha was no longer in existence. Other Mefarshim explain that the Shemen HaMishcha is only used when the person will be permanently appointed as Kohen Gadol. However, they explain that this person who's being appointed Kohen Gadol is not going to be a permanent Kohen Gadol. When the first Kohen Gadol will be able to return to his position, as we will learn in the next year, he returns to that position. In such circumstances, the Shemen HaMishcha is not used. Another terrorist, they explain why the Shemen HaMishcha wasn't used, is because the Shemen HaMishcha is only effective if it's going to be used for 7 days. Here, we don't have that time, so that's why the Shemen HaMishcha is not an option. Another terrorist that's given, and this is the way we're trying to learn the whole sugya, is that the chinuch of this new kayin has to be done with a hecker. It has to be seen and obvious to all that he's being appointed this position. So when he does that voida, like the Gemara says, he brings the carbon tamid, wearing the shmain begadim, that's something that everyone sees, and we see that it was neschanech. Just anointing him with the Shemen HaMishcha is not something that's noticeable, not something that everybody will see, and therefore that's not an effective manner to accomplish the chinuch. Omer of Ad Bar Havas, from Ad Bar Havas says, the way we are mechanechim is be'avnet, by wearing the belt of the Kohen Gadol. So in a way of introduction, all year round, the Kohen Gadol wears a belt made out of klayim, a mixture of wool and linen, even though normally we're not allowed to wear shaknes klayim, a mixture of wool and linen. Here the Torah specifically says that the belt of a Kohen Gadol that he wears all year should be made out of klayim. Also, the belt, the avnet, that the Kohen Gadol wears on Yom Kippur is made out of butz, is made out of pure linen. So says the Gemara that we put on this Kohen the pure linen belt, and that's how it will be noticeable that he was now appointed to be Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara, Hanich l'mandamer, that will be understandable according to the mandam that holds Aveta Shekohen Gadol who Avneta Shekohen Hedjit, that all year round the Kohen Hedjit wears a belt made out of klayim, just like the Kohen Gadol does. So now, when I take this Kohen Hedjit and I put on a pure linen belt, so there's a hecker, there's something noticeable that he's going to be Kohen Gadol, and that's how the chinuch is accomplished. However, as the Gemara, Elamandam of Neitah Shel Kohen Gadol Loizu of Neitah Shel Kohen Hedjit, the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedjit all year round don't wear the same belt. The Kohen Gadol all year round wears a belt made out of wool and linen. The Kohen Hedjit all year round wears a belt made out of pure linen. So now, by having him wear a pure linen belt, which is no different from what he's been wearing till now as a Kohen Hedjit, so again we have nothing noticeable to show that he's the Kohen Gadol. Michael Amemer, so again, how was the chinuch of making him Kohen Gadol accomplished? Amrabaya, Shabaya says, Loiv Shmoina, even though the Talmud Shel Shachar was already brought, what we should tell him is, interrupt, before going on to do the rest of the Avodah Yom Kippurim, where only 4 begadim are worn, stop, and put on the 8 begadim, and Mehapech B'Tznura, take some of the pieces of meat of the Karban Tamid, and turn them over to make it burn quicker. That's called an Avodah. Why is that called an Avodah? Because Rav Huna, Dom Rav Huna, Zor Shahapach Mitzunura, should a Zor, should a Yisrael do that, Chas V'Shalom, he would be Chai Misa. There's a Chi Misa B'Deshmayim, if a Zor does the Avodah of a Kohen. So this is considered an Avodah, and it's Avodah where he puts on all 8 begadim. It's a noticeable Avodah, and that's how he will have accomplished Chinuch. Ask the Sfasemis. We're speaking on Yom Kippur. So the halacha is that on Yom Kippur, whatever avodas we're supposed to do on Yom Kippur or on Shabbos, the did is you're allowed to do. But certainly, you're only allowed to do avodas that must be done. Turning over these pieces of meat is not an avodah that must be done. It'll burn slower. It'll take longer to burn. Why is he allowed to do such an avodah on Yom Kippur? Just because I want to make a hecker? Just because I want to make a chinuch? Says the Sfas Emes, that's part of what the Gemara is teaching us from Rav Huna. Since Rav Huna teaches us that if a Zor turns over the pieces of meat on the Mizbeach, he's Chayiv Misa, that proves it's not just something that you could voluntarily do. It's something that must be done. It's a required, mandatory avodah. And therefore, it may be done in Yom Kippur. And that's how the heker and the chinuch of the Kohen Gadol is accomplished. And the Gevura Sari and Rav Chaim Brisker both explain, from here we see that the heker, and Rashi, they say that's what Rashi is trying to teach us in this Gemara, from here we see that the heker has to be a heker in the avoider. It's not just enough that we go and put on this Kohen, the begodim, the Shemayna begodim, and like that he'll be considered Kohen Gadol. The heker has to be a heker during the avoider. That's how the chinuch has to be a heker through avoider. Otherwise, it will not be considered a legitimate chinuch. Rav Papa has a different approach. Avodas mechan chosoi, the fact that he does the avoider of Yom Kippur, albeit that when he does the avoider of Yom Kippur, he only wears the same four begodim that he wore when he was a kohen hedyot, but doing the work and everybody seeing him doing the avoidus Yom Kippurim, that is the chinuch. Because Papa finds such a precedent. Milay Tanya, Kol HaKelim She'asa Moshe, all the utensils that Moshe Rabbeinu made for the Mishkan, Mishichasa Mikdashtan, when he anointed them with the oil, that's how they became sanctified. However, Mikav Veilich, and future generations, they did not require Mishicha, rather Avoidasa Mechan Chosam, using them is the biggest form of chinuch. Hachinami, so too, but it's koyin avodasoy minchan chosoy. His working during the avoid of Yom Kippur, even though he's only wearing the same four begodim that he wore always as a koyin hedyot, still can serve as a heker and as a chinuch. Kios Ravdimi. So Ravdimi said, now the Gemara goes back to discuss the subject about the belt of a koyin hedyot, what is it made out of? A veitish the kohen hedyot, the belt of a kohen hedyot. There's a machlokes Rebbe Reb Elezer of Shimon. Charamer, it was made out of kloyim, it was made out of wool and linen. But charamer shabutzim, one says it was made out of pure linen. But the Braisa did not identify who holds what. What does Rebbe hold? What does Reb Elezer of Shimon hold? Says the Gemara, Testayim, I'll bring you a proof. The Rebbe who damish klayim, that it's Rebbe that holds that the belt of a kohen hedyot was made out of klein. The Tanya says in a braisa, "Ein bein kohen gadol kohen hedyot." There is no difference between the kohen gadol and the kohen hedyot. Ela avnet, only with the belt. Divrei Rebbe, and that's what Rebbe holds. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Oimer, aflay avnet. Even the belt is not a point of difference between the kohen gadol and the kohen hedyot. Explains the Gemara. Amos, regarding what time of the year is this braisa talking? If you're talking not during Yom Kippur, ask the Gemara Tuveika. There's a lot of a difference between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot. Kohen Gadol Meshamish B'Shemayin Begadim. The Kohen Gadol wears 8 Begadim, as we explained. The Hedyot Barber, and the Kohen Hedyot only wears 4. Elalav, the Braisa must be speaking on Yom Kippur. And what does the Braisa say? That according to Rebbe, there's a difference between the avnate of the kohen gadol and the avnate of a kohen hedyot. What is the difference? Because everybody agrees that the kohen gadol's avnate on Yom Kippur was pure linen. And Rebbe says that the kohen hedyot's avnate was different. It must be because he holds that the kohen hedyot's avnate was made out of klayim. So it must be the Rebbe's demand, the Amr, that holds that the belt of a kohen hedyot is klayim. Amri, says the Gemara, your proof is not conclusive. Because l'olam, I'll tell you that the Braisa is talking Shari Moshe Shana, not in Yom Kippur. And the Braisa is saying, and the Braisa is speaking about half the Shavian. The Braisa is not talking about the 4 big days of golden garments that the Kohen Gadol wore. That's not the subject of this Braisa. The Braisa is talking about the same 4 begodim, the big day lovin, that both a Kohen Gadol wears and a Kohen Hedyot wears. And the Braisa is teaching us that there is a difference between the avnate of the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedget, which would mean just the opposite. That would mean that the Kohen Gadol's oya wears klayim, and the Kohen Hedget oya wears pure linen. So as the Mefarshim explained, since the Braisa could be explained either way, the Braisa cannot be conclusive proof what Rebbe really holds. Tosfos asks, then why don't we say there's another obvious difference between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedget? The Kohen Gadol wore a mitznefes and a hat that was smaller, and the Kohen Hedget wore a mikbas. Why did the Kohen Gadol wear a smaller hat, smaller turban? It's because the Kohen Gadol had to wear the tzitz, and he also had to wear tefillin, so there had to be room for all of those various garments on his head, so he wore a smaller hat. So why isn't that identified as a difference between the Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedget? So Taisa says the only thing that can be considered a difference is when the item under discussion is made out of a totally different material. Like if the avnet is made out of linen, or the avnet is made out of a mixture of linen and wool. A hat, that the only difference between the hats is one is larger and one is smaller, is not considered enough of a difference to separate, to be considered different. Now the Gemara, however, quotes another Amira, which will specifically identify which Tana holds what. Kasu Ravin, Omar, Avnei Shekoyin Gol B'Yom Kippurim, the belt that a Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippurim, the Rakosh Shabbat. Everybody agrees was pure linen. B'Shai Mais Hashana, the belt that a Kohen Gadol wore all year, everybody agrees the Rakosh Shaklai. Lainechlaku, where is their Machlaikis? El Bavnei Shekoyin Hedget, regarding the belt that a Kohen Hedget wears. B'Yom B'Shai Mais Hashana, whether during the year. B'Yom B'Yom Kippurim. Sh'Rebbe Omer Shaklai, Rebbe says that the belt of a Kohen Hedget all year was made out of klayim. Here he says it explicitly. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon Omer that the belt of a Kohen Hedget all year was butz made out of linen. Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Afanan Nami Tanina. I have another braisa that corroborates that Rebbe is the man, the Omer, that holds that the belt of a Kohen Hedget all year was made out of a mixture of wool and linen. Because the pasuk says regarding the Truma Sadeshin, one of the first things that was done every day in the Beis HaMikdash was clearing out the ash. And the Pasuk said, V'lovesh HaKoyin Midoi Bad, the Koyin should put on his linen ksoinus, or Michnasei Bad Yilbash HaBasari, his linen pants he should put on, V'herim Sadeshin Shetoichal Eish HaOyla HaMizbeich V'Sameitz HaMizbeich, and he should do Truma Sadeshin. Now there's a difficulty in this Pasuk. The pasuk begins with the words "v'lavash akayin." The kohen should dress. So then the pasuk said "v'lavash akayin midei bad," or "michnasei bad yilbash al basaroi." Why does the Torah have to use the word "yilbash" again? So says the Braisa, al basaroi first of all teaches the pasuk already says that he should wear his clothing. Matam alay me yilbash. Why does the Torah repeat the word "yilbash"? Lahavi mitznefes for avnet laramas adeshin. Since the pasuk only mentioned that the kohen wears the ksoinus and the mechnosayim when doing Trumas Hadeshin, that's why Rabbi Yehuda says the Torah adds the word yilbash to tell us that he also has to wear the mitznefes and avnate when doing the Trumas Hadeshin. However, Rabbi Doi has a different approach. Lo'avi big day kohen gadol b'yom kippurim, the garments that the kohen gadol wore in Yom Kippur shin k'sherim kohen hedget. As we shall learn, everybody agrees that the garments that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur may not be worn again by the Kohen Gadol. However, Rabbi Doisa teaches us that although the Kohen Gadol may not wear those begadim again, a Kohen Hedget may. Says Rabbi Omer to Rev Doisa, Chechus Bedover, I have two reasons to disagree with you. Chada, Davnetish HaKohen Gadol B'Yom Kippurim, the belt that the Kohen Gadol wore in Yom Kippur, Loizu Avnetish HaKohen Hedget, is not the same belt. Because the Kohen Gadol, as we just learned, everyone agrees, wore a pure linen belt on Yom Kippur. And the Kohen Hedget, says Rebbe, wears a belt made out of klayim. So you can't ask the Kohen Hedyot to wear the Kohen Gadol's belt. It's not the same. And furthermore, says Rabbi Void, the garments that were worn to do such a holy avoida, the avoida on Yom Kippur, to shtamsh ben kedusha kala, should be used for a lesser avoida, and the avoida that the Kohen Hedyot does, which is not on that level, says Rebbe El Matam Alayma Yilbash. What does Yilbash teach us? The Rabbi says Shchokim, to teach us the worn out clothing, clothing that's worn out but not torn, may be used to do the avoida. Torn begadim may not be used. Worn out begadim may be used. Says the Gemara. However, Rav Doiser, who says that the begadim of a kohen gadol may be worn by a kohen hedyot, is going Rav Ozda Rav Doiser l'tamei. The Tanya v'nicham sham. The pasuk says regarding the begadim of the kohen gadol should be left there. Melamed shetun and gniza. They have to be buried. No one, nowhere could ever use them again. That's the Tanakhama. Have Rav Doiser yomer. Yom Kippur Macher. The Kohen Gadol should not use it for another year Yom Kippur. However, a Kohen Hedyot may use it. There's an interesting Taz. The Taz says that there's a concept of Mal Mekodesh for Emeridim. You can't, you only could use something which is holy to go up, but not use it for a more mundane purpose. Says the Taz, for example, if I have an Aron Kodesh that's used for Sifrei Torah, I can't use that Aron Kodesh for regular Sfar. However, says the Taz, if the Aron Kodesh is no longer usable for Sifrei Torah for whatever reason, then I could use it for regular Sfar. The concept of Malon B'Kodesh for Loi Meridin is only when it's still usable for its original purpose. Ask the Bechor Shor, from our Gemara, we see not like that, because our Gemara teaches us that the begadim that the Kohen Gadol wore, which are no longer usable again for him, because everybody agrees, v'nicham shom, that they can't be reused, yet the Gemara says that the Tanakhama that argues and Rav Doiser says they would say Mal Mekodesh v'Emeridim and they can't be used for Kohen Hedyot. So it's proof, says the Bechor Shor, that the Taz is incorrect. However, the Shor Mitzion Balocha quotes many Mefarshim that say just on the opposite. Al Gemara is a proof that they say that the Taz is correct. Because Al Gemara, they say, says that the Pasuk by the Begadim of Yom Kippurim say V'nicham Shom, they should be left there. Specifically, these begadim have a din of a nicham sham that they should not be reused. What does that teach us? That in any other situation, if the item is no longer usable for its original purpose, it may be reused. The Sklener Rebbe used to explain Malon B'Kodesh V'Loi Meridin teaches us a lesson in Avodas Hashem. Malon B'Kodesh, a person should constantly Malon B'Kodesh, go higher and higher in his Avodas Hashem. However, what would be if a person will take an approach, I'm not going to go higher, but I'm not going to go lower? Teaches us the Torah, Malon B'Kodesh, you constantly have to go higher. Because V'Loi, if you don't constantly go higher, Meridin, then automatically you're going lower. There is no such a thing as a status quo. You either go up or go down. And our job is, Malon B'Kodesh, to always go higher and higher.